Our scripture reading today is recorded in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. There we read verses 35 through 50 in Jesus' name. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." These are the words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, the setting of our text today may surprise us. Here we see Jesus in the home of a Pharisee as an invited dinner guest. The Pharisees, we know, were bitter opponents of our Lord, and we would not expect to see one of them actually hosting Jesus in his home. But as we discover, it was likely done for the purpose of watching him, perhaps catching him in some error. There was another person present at that dinner in the home of Simon the Pharisee. This person probably uninvited. Luke says, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil." That woman came to the home of the Pharisee carrying a very heavy weight. She was a sinner, and she knew it. In fact, she had earned for herself a bad name in that town and was marked by others for her misbehavior. We're not told the details of her sin, nor the details of her conversion, but it's obvious that she had been brought to hear about and to believe in Jesus' kindness for poor sinners. And now her actions, right in front of the other guests, boldly display her faith in him. Luke says that as she poured out the perfume on Jesus, she was weeping. Probably the memory of her past life and her sins filled her with grief and spilled out in her tears. We know that crying is a common response to the release of a long-felt tension. We react with tears when a persistent danger has been resolved, the threat has been eliminated. What sort of tension and danger are we talking about? Well, God's holy law identifies that and reveals it to us. It's our sins. When we think about them, the many times and ways that we've offended against God, and when we think about just how justified he would be if he were to condemn us for our sins, then we naturally feel stress and the anxiety of guilt in our hearts. For God's law tells us the soul that sins, it shall die. And elsewhere it says the wages of sin is death. Believing that, who among us would not be frightened and anxious? And then we hear announced another message, that is the sweet and consoling gospel of Jesus that says, don't be afraid. Jesus, the Son of God, the promised Savior, has come. He's your substitute. He lived the perfect life, untainted by sin, which God demands of you. He was beaten and mocked and nailed to a cross where he suffered terrible pain for you. That gospel says what you deserved, Jesus endured. The weight that should have fallen right on you fell on him, and he died. And because he bore your guilt and suffered and died, and because he rose again from the dead, your sins are forgiven and can no longer condemn you. Believing that, we can understand the great relief and joy this woman now expressed with her tears. She knew her sin, and she knew Christ, and she worshiped him in this extravagant way. Did Simon the Pharisee know Jesus that way? Certainly Simon knew who Jesus was, and based on what he knew, he'd invited him to his house for dinner. He knew Jesus from the sermons he had preached and the miracles he performed. He knew Jesus was brave enough to stand up to the religious powers of that time. He knew enough about Jesus to know that he would make a pretty interesting dinner guest. But Simon did not know Jesus from the heart like the woman did. He didn't know Jesus as his Savior. Why not? Because Simon didn't know himself, and he didn't know his own sins. The Pharisees were famous for their outward morality. They lived by a very strict code of behavior. It would probably have been much easier to live right next door to Simon than to live next door to the woman, at least prior to her conversion. Simon wouldn't have had a lot of loud late-night parties, and the kind of person apt to visit his home might have been more trustworthy than the visitors to the home of the woman. Simon the Pharisee was more respected in the community than she was. The problem was, though, that he thought this respectability was enough. He was satisfied with his own upstanding reputation and his willingness to obey certain rules, but he overlooked the darkness of sin which abided in him. He was blind to God, who searches the heart and not just our outward behavior. Simon thought he had done a sufficient job of obeying God. But his word says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For that reason, Jesus described the Pharisees as being whitewashed tombs, respectable monuments which look nice enough on the outside, but inside are rotten and decaying. So when the woman entered his house and began her worship of Jesus, Simon was offended. He said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. This was all the proof Simon needed. Jesus was no prophet, certainly not the promised Messiah. In his mind, a genuine prophet would have known who this woman was, and no self-respecting person would have allowed it. Because Simon didn't know his own sin, he didn't know Jesus. But Jesus knew him, and in fact, he knew even the thoughts that he was thinking. So the Lord went on to instruct him with the following parable. He said there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Both had large debts, and neither could begin to repay, having those debts canceled. Which one would naturally feel a more keen sense of appreciation? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Jesus told Simon that he had answered correctly, and then he went on to tell him, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. The Pharisee, though Jesus' host, failed to do even the most basic and customary acts of courtesy for a guest in his home, whereas the woman went to considerable expense and publicly humbled herself in honoring the Lord. Simon's lack of love and gratitude toward Jesus showed that he had no realistic appraisal of himself and no appreciation for the Savior, no longing for his gift of salvation. So Jesus went on to tell him, Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then Simon must have been shocked when Jesus turned to the woman and announced, Your sins are forgiven. The others present also expressed astonishment. Who is this who even forgives sins? Then Jesus told the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, it's not that faith itself is a good work that we do, which God rewards with his forgiveness, but rather faith is the empty hand which accepts this most needful gift. Having the forgiveness of our sins, you and I can go to heaven when we die. And without that forgiveness of our sins before God, we can't avoid hell. Trusting in the forgiveness which Jesus won for us on the cross, repentant sinners like the woman of our text and like you and me can depart this world in peace. So like them, we ask, who is this who even forgives sins? The woman knew and she wept with relief and joy. Simon the Pharisee didn't know, so all he gained from Jesus was a temporary dinner guest. It's Jesus Christ who was willing to associate with sinners, known sinners and secret sinners, who was willing to die so that all of us may have the forgiveness of sins and heaven. It's Jesus who's given us his word and baptism and communion, so that by the Holy Spirit, we're brought to possess by faith his pardon and to live each day at peace with God. He alone is worthy of our most extravagant love and worship. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, keep us always faithful in acknowledging and confessing our sins against you. And then keep us always thankful for this precious gospel, which brings to us the complete forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our true and only Savior. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.